You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front row seat to all the action. Making a lineup for DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Just draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, and then sit back and watch your points pile up. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 27. And I have to start this podcast by asking, Andy, how tall are you?
On a good day, I'm a little over 6 foot. I'm 6 and change.
Okay, well, that's good, because you're tall enough to ride the roller coaster, okay? And we are on that roller coaster, and it is amazing how many ups and downs there are and all arounds as the New York Rangers drop 2 straight games to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, I sort of have to blame ourselves for the loss. I don't know if I could really, you know, blame anyone else or just, you know, point fingers at anybody else, because you and I were on a streak. Well, actually, you were on a streak where you would give a prediction of the 2 games or an expectation of the 2 games, that the Rangers were facing, or the 1 game, and you were like on a hot streak where what you were saying was starting to happen. And we didn't do that on the last one. And as we ended the podcast, I actually thought in my head, I should have had Andy, you know, predict what he wanted out of the 2 games against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And we didn't do that. So I kind of, you know, shame on us. But, you know, I do have to start this podcast with asking you, how are you doing?
You know, I'm somber after we are recording this moments after the Rangers dropped their 2nd straight to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They still have yet to beat them this season. And I think that just the realization sets in, you know, still without Panarin, about really how much of an aberration last year was between Panarin and Mika Zibanejad's, you know, hot year. Because even with some of their young talent taking that next step forward, there's still a lot of things that this team needs to figure out and learn, and it's learning on the fly. And I mean, you know, I guess silver lining is that you did get to see them start to figure some things out in these 2 games, but just, I thought back-to-back games where they weren't sharp, they weren't heavy enough on their sticks. I'm sure some of the young guys are starting to hit that lull after, you know, whether it's Keandre, who's in probably his roughest stretch of the year. I think other teams are planning against him and knows that, you know, he has trouble pivoting right now with his skating. You know, he's getting turned, styled left and right. He's biting a little too much to step up, so they're kind of faking and then pulling around him, and he's really having trouble with it. And yeah, I just think all of a sudden he's not those, you know, rookie nerves of coming in and just being able to, like, just moving your feet all of a sudden. Yeah, he's just a little too much puck watching for most of this team, I'll say. You know, I mean, the one good thing about these last 2 games, I thought Zibanejad looked the most dangerous he's looked all season. But it's still, this team on paper without Panarin is not good enough. You know, Jack Johnson is not good enough to be on this team. if Keandre Miller is having his worst stretch of hockey this year, and you get Trouba, who comes back a little early, still nursing a little bit of a sore hand, that's not going to be good enough. Fox and Lindgren, if you're going to play him into the ground, it's going to be tough. And, you know, Fox might acquit himself nicely, but Lindgren is going to have trouble at times. And yeah, and they get, once again, David Quinn sits the wrong person. He sits Lemieux instead of Howden, who's just, offense dies on this kid's stick. So it's just not, you know, unfortunately, this team is just a little, still too young. And they're, you know, they're just the things that are automatic for, you know, veteran teams like the Penguins, who just have confidence. They don't have to, they know when to apply. They know where their outlets are. They know how to find each other. And yeah, the Rangers just can't. They have games where things are working out. You know, they're all given effort because they feel good and effort's going for them. But then there's other games where they can't corral passes and they feel like they have time, no time and space. And they're catching all their passes off the board in their own zone to try to break out with their backs up the boards. And it's just one of those games again. And it's just, it's a, yeah, a somber realization that this season is probably, this was probably the final nail in the coffin for their season. I don't think they can, if they were going to go on a run, they had to at least get 2 points out of the stretch, and to get none and just look the way they did, it's just, yeah, I think I'm going to call it. That's probably it.
Yeah. You know, and we pretty much said that this, you know, this two game swing was going to be the most important. And now the Rangers put themselves, I believe, 8 points out of, 8 points out of, 8 points out of a playoff spot. They do have a game in hand, and, you know, they can't afford to tie Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh has absolutely whooped them this entire season. So, yeah, it's not looking good, but, you know, we do have so many question marks right now, and it's like, I feel like we've kind of just thrown together this lineup and expected to compete, and, you know, that lineup can get away with games against New Jersey and games against Buffalo, but you throw real competition and, you know, you can, you know, Kreider goes back into the basement. You know, Mika got, you know, a goal last game, but that doesn't really, you know, that doesn't really spark him to go on the tears that we're used to seeing. Panarin is skating with the team, but still listed day to day. So he's probably never going to come back. And, you know, this is what happens, you know, our big signing of our, you know, defenseman Trouba, he's just the shell until hopefully gets into the playoffs and he's a playoff performer and can play that gritty, you know, game that teams like to play and muck it up in the corners. And but he's worthless during the regular season. And, you know, the guys that usually step up, like Blackwell, if he's not going to score, we're not going to win. And, you know, it's great to have effort guys like DiGiuseppe. But, you know, Rangers right now are really dependent on those type of guys to elevate their game. Otherwise, because you're really not getting it anywhere else, you know. You know, I would say Strome, you know, has had an easier time finding the back of the net this year. And touche for him to prove that he can play without Panarin. But, you know, that's not enough. And, you know, you look up and down this lineup and it's like, who's going to be the difference maker this night? And you really don't have confidence in anybody, you know. You'd love to say that Lafreniere and Kako are those guys, but they're not those guys yet, you know. And, you know, even though Kako's game has improved, you know, tremendously from last year, it's not at a point where he takes over games and he's the difference maker. And, you know, you saw that last year from Panarin and Mika, right? And they were able to steal games. And, you know, our goaltending was a little bit more solid. And, you know, the three-headed monster doesn't really seem that bad anymore when the three-headed monster now, instead of Lundqvist, you have Kincaid. And, you know, it just, there's a question mark at every single aspect of our roster and our coaching. And Rangers don't have an identity right now. They don't have a coaching style. They don't have leadership. And, you know, it's great that the Rangers are able to, you know, put the puck in the net against New Jersey and beat Buffalo, but that those games don't really matter at the end of the day if you can't beat the true competition in this division. And like you know, going into the season, you knew, Andy, we all knew that this was going to be one of the toughest divisions in hockey, if not the toughest. And the Rangers are failing, and they're failing miserably. And this back-to-back losses is unacceptable. And, you know, for a team that expecting to compete and be a part of, you know, that discussion of who's going to get that final playoff spot. And Andy, like, I know we say this, and this is part of the roller coaster where last podcast I seemed upbeat. It's just like, once I feel like we get going, it's a screeching halt. It's like traffic, right? Where there's like a little break in it and you kind of speed up and you're on the highway and you get to 30 and you're like, oh, finally, it's over. And then it slows right back down again. It's like, that's what I feel like this whole season has been. And I don't have the answers, Andy. And, you know, I'm kind of hoping that you could, it doesn't sound like you're on the ledge right now too with me. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so, you know, give me, you know, where do we go from here? You know, like, I guess that's where we need to start. Where do we go from here?
So I guess it's at this point, as a Rangers fan, I am evaluating two things, because I think winning, you know, any semblance of making the playoffs or like a miracle run is basically you're looking towards the future, right? So or maybe I should say three things. The first I say is you look at construction of the roster, who is going to be with this team long term. And, you know, I've harped on how I've given up on Howden at this point. Jack Johnson, Trouba, like it or not, that contract means he's going to be here. You do wonder if, you know, especially with the way things are going in Buffalo, if players like Buchnevich will still be here, if they'll be somehow parted with in order to land, or even if it's not Eichel, even if it's just the Rangers are like, we just need another middle six center who can just hold things down. Because, I mean, you know, I love what Hedl's becoming as a play driver, but yeah, I just feel like their biggest problem, I think, right now, and I think it's why it's costing them a lot of games, is really it's just they have too many young guys, and it's just things like decision-making and situational play. They just, that's really where they're the weakest. You know, they just, there's a lot of unsureness that at times it leads to standing around. And if they're not, it's not one of those days where they all just kind of wake up and feel good and motivated, then it's a problem, because there's a lot of puck watching and standing around. Is he going to get it? And especially the rookies. And it's, you know, they're kind of looking to their line mates to see kind of how much pressure to apply. And that's just not going to do it. So, I mean, another thing is obviously then you're looking at development. Can the more ice time Kako gets, you know, and we're finally seeing him hold on to the puck more in the zone and dictate play. So that's great, because that looks like the Kako we saw in those highlight clips, you know, from his time in Finland and the World Championships. But it hasn't really equated to him finishing, because I think he's still, now he's figuring out, here's how I can create time and space for myself, and he's faster on the puck, and that's great, but he still is having trouble finishing. And I don't know if that comes this season, which is still frustrating, but again, we have to remind ourselves that, like, just like Kako and Hughes and all these guys don't come, they're not going to be like a Matthews or a McDavid or an Eichel and just come and just be a 50-point dominant finisher from the drop of the hat. It's going to take time. So last season, he was behind the eight ball a bit. This season, he's looking on it. He's just kind of figuring out how to play A, off the puck defensively, which he's been much better at, and, you know, and B, now learn how to be heavy on the puck, create that time and space he's used to in the offensive zone, and then finish. You know, Lafreniere is getting better and better. He's definitely, offensively, I've noticed more hustle from him, which is good, and more trying to, but there's still too many moments where he's a little too soft on the puck, you know, but he's gotten better, and that's just kind of part of learning in season, which is tough, you know, for anyone, especially a 19-year-old. Same thing with Miller, who's having a rough stretch. I mean, as the season wears on, and like I said, you kind of lose that initial rookie burst that you kind of get out of the gate of the adrenaline and just trying to do things quickly. Yeah, now that he feels a little bit more settled in, he's kind of finding himself getting turnstiled a little too much, a little too passive, but you still see the flashes of him putting things together, especially the confidence. For better or worse, he's confident, you know, I'd say sometimes to his detriment, but at the same time, it's like one of those things that you have to live with in order, if we want to get the most out of the player. And then I'm sorry, I know this is a long way, I'll wrap it up.
No. I wanted the one point for Miller, sure. and I'll let you continue, is, you know, unfortunately for him, he can't be hidden in this lineup. Like, he's expected to basically be our third best defenseman.
Yeah, yeah, he has a great point. And you know what? Again, I think it's going to mean we're going to see a lot more rough patches out of him. But at the same time, a part of me wonders, I don't know if he's a guy you can really shelter to if you want him to get where he's going. Because I think his biggest problem is, like we said, it's that it's you don't want him sheltered to a point. You know, I think we saw that a little bit with Brady Shea, where he was sheltered a bit. And then when it was time for him to be the man, it really exposed some of the shortcomings in his game, which is his decision making. And because, you know, great skater Brady Shea, but a little too soft on pucks in his own end and can get tunnel vision. And that totally got exposed the second they were like, oh, wow, he's going to take over from McDonough, and didn't happen. You know what I mean? So I think with Miller early, he needs to, and I even saw throughout this Penguins game early on, he was getting, you know, the last, you know, for that, I'd say the better part of both those games, the Penguins players were easily getting behind him, turnstiling him, you know. But I think as the game went on, especially that second game, he kind of realized, all right, like, I have to gap up sooner, or I have to give them more because I'm trying to jump up on them and then they're stepping around me, making me look stupid. Then I'm like coming, trailing them, trying to wing a stick at them. So I think he even figured that out. So you want to see development. But I think the biggest thing is Quinn is the one guy I think I'm evaluating more than anyone on this team, because I understand you're without Panarin, and maybe if they have Panarin, some of their fates are different. But if not having one player, even if it's your best player, is like the difference between, you know, being in it and just totally being out of it and just not able to compete, you know, consistently, then you're not really that close anyway. And I just think that Quinn, I think, gets a lot of, I don't want to say unfair criticism. I mean, I think he gets the criticism he gets is probably mostly not, a lot of it's not his fault. But at the same time, I don't hear much about the criticism I do think that's warranted for him, because I do actually think I've seen, you know what, Lafreniere and Kako has been getting good ice time. And yeah, it's you know, maybe it's players are out, so it makes it easier. But at the same time, it's like guys are, you know, I do like the fact that guys don't spend too much time, you know, scratch. I think Quinn has done a good job, at least, you know, he'll never scratch Brett Howden, but at least for the most part, it's like guys are cycling in. So it's not like one guy is just sitting there waiting for his chance. But at the same time, I do want to know why does every other team in the league seem to have easy outlets, or at least know where their teammates are in the offensive zone, or have some semblance of a system to create more than one shot on net, where the Rangers are constantly a one and done team. And they have to run around and apply so much physical exertion and pressure. Whatever system they're playing, it just doesn't do them any favors. I think it doesn't suit them. It doesn't make life easier for them. And that comes down to Quinn being an X's and O's guy. Why did they take, you know, they didn't this game, Pittsburgh did, but why does he lead the league in bench minors? You know, why, like, it's just these type of things. You know, he should be developing too. And why are, you know, I'm very happy that their defense is better this season, but, you know, it's really come at the expense of some offense. So what's going to happen? They're going to find, maybe next year they find a better middle ground, but then they're not good defensively anymore, or they're only just okay, and they're still going to expect their, you know. So that's, I think, the biggest thing for me is that the rest of the season, for the person I'm watching the most is Quinn. His, you know, whether it be lineup decisions, how the team is showing up prepared, because they really needed to come out in this one. And out of the gate, Pittsburgh felt confident and really just put the pedal down on them. And then they kind of shrunk back again. And it took them to the third period to fight after they give up a soft shorthanded goal. You know, again, another miscue, like, oh, who's going to get them? And yeah, they're behind the eight ball. That should have been a tie game if they had played someone. And that's with the bad luck goal that Lindgren's stick explodes. Jack Johnson can't clear a puck, and it ramps up his stick and into over Kincaid. So, So I don't know. It's just what I just think. For me, the biggest thing is that going forward is that, are they learning from their mistakes? Are they earning these things out, or is this just going to be persistent because you just don't see the coaching staff doing a good job instilling? And we've already seen a couple of coaches change benches this year, so I don't think Quinn would get changed in season, but at the same time, I think it'd be foolish to think at this point that there's not a little bit of disappointment from the Rangers brass, and they might be angling to see, you know, what if Quinn is going to be here beyond the season.
Yeah, and listen, as a head coach in the National Hockey League, you know, injuries happen. And you see constantly that, you know, injuries happen to, you know, stars. I mean, how many times has Pittsburgh been without Crosby, you know? Boston, in the beginning of the season, they had their injuries, you know? Bergeron didn't start the season right away, right? I think Marchand came in hurt. Pasternak didn't play every game. Like, injuries happen. I mean, Philadelphia, you know, was riddled with COVID. You know, they were still, you know, were kind of able to, you know, right the ship a little bit, you know? Things happen. And, you know, I mean, shit, look what the adversity that New Jersey had to go through, you know, a couple of weeks ago with COVID and some injuries, you know, Nico missing the first, you know, a bit of the year. You know, you can't sit here and say, well, you know, Quinn doesn't have, you know, Panarin. What is he supposed to do? Look at Quinn's roster, which is why you need an identity. You need to be able to coach these players in a way that suits them and to be competitive. And, you know, I said at the beginning of the season, you know, one of the things I was very much interested in is how these coaches handle playing the same teams night in and night out. And, you know, were they going to do different things for, you know, different opponents? And the one thing I've seen with the Rangers is that they come out and they play the same exact way against every single team. There is no adjustments made for their opponents. And which is why you see their style of play be a little bit more successful against, I think, the weaker teams, especially the teams that have, I think, weaker overall defense. And Pittsburgh should be one of those teams, but they just almost seem just to have, you know, they have the Rangers number. But, you know, and it's super frustrating because I know the roster is not great, right? And, you know, I know there are question marks up and down the entire roster, from defense to goaltending to, you know, the, you know, forward depth. But that does not mean that you just collapse constantly. Like, how many blown leads? Like, why do we score the first goal of the game and then, you know, we're not going to maintain that lead, you know, at all? Like, we never score the second one. Like, why don't we ever score in bunches? Why don't we score every 3 goals in a row? You know, Kreider did it, you know, the other game, but it's like, we're never on the winning side. You know, we're never on that, like that comeback, that, you know, the 2-goal comeback in the last 10 minutes of the game. We're never part of that. We don't have that. We're not built like that. And I don't know if that's a culture thing, but we have, that's not part of our DNA. That is not part of our makeup right now.
Oh, definitely not. And, you know, it was at times last season, and especially I feel like the Stanley Cup final run and then the President's Trophy year after, the Rangers were full of that. If they were down, how many comebacks did they have? I remember numerous ones. You know, the Minnesota one was a big one, the one versus Columbus. It's like you said, it's just, I think it's partially that's not who they are right now. They can maybe get there, but at the same time, it's just, you know, you look at the guys who are supposed to be pulling the rope, and like you said, Kreider, you know, Mika finally looks dangerous, and Kreider says, okay, I'm going to go back to literally winging pucks into the corner for no reason, or like trying to use my speed, and maybe I get there first, but then I'm like, I have no vision to speak of. So unless I'm tipping pucks in front of the net or just skating fast into the net, it's going to lead to, you know, fuck all. And that's what happened, you know.
Right.
Strom, you know, and Strom's trying to create, but if Kreider's not doing those things, and he's your winger, and you're trying to do the Ryan Strom catch and shoot and pass the puck to the corner to a guy with good vision thing that he's used to in Panarin, and it's Kreider, it's not going to work. And you know what? The only positive in this stretch is Julien Gauthier. He's been great. You know, he's been slowly putting up points in games defensively. He's been good. He's definitely, you know, you would hope that when this team is at their full maturity, he is a bottom six mainstay for them, because when he uses his size and speed, especially, you know, he's been playing a lot more directly, and that I will give Quinn credit for. And I think those are, you know, I think the problem is, unfortunately, that it's like, you know, Quinn can do a good job of getting the young effort guys to be like, all right, yeah, put in effort and do this and you'll get success. It's great. But at the same time, you have guys that are also skilled, you know. Is he helping a guy like Philip Hedl, who developed more time and space for himself, or little things he can do, or things to make his life easier? Or is he just telling him, you know, continue to skate hard, you know, get pucks in deep and grind it out, use your body? You know, I understand, yes, you have to work in the National Hockey League, but that it's like you have to teach players they have to work, but at the same time, you also have to teach them. The funny thing is, the harder other teams work, it makes it look easier for them. Whereas the harder the Rangers work, it looks like they're working real hard. And yeah, they might be getting ahead, but it looks like they're literally having to kill themselves to do it, because it's like there's not a lot in there in the terms of their system to make things easier for them, whether it's breaking out the puck, one of these things that it's like that same guy on the half wall, and you know, you're, it's naturally spaced, so of course someone's going to bear down on him, and it's never, you know, and you know, there's it always gets picked. It's just, it's so obvious their breakouts are so bad. I just, you know, I don't know, it's just there's a lot for me right now.
Well, effort isn't a system. Like I mean, effort is like a like an ingredient in the system, and the Rangers just, they don't have anything. Like I don't know. Like I'm so like in frustrated right now, and just like beaten down, and just like I knew this was coming. Like I knew losing to Pittsburgh was coming. Two in a row against Pittsburgh, there were must wins, and they just, I feel like they don't even show up, and you know, getting blown out the first game, that was a gut punch. But this one, they get out to an early lead, then they give up a goal in like the last minute of the period, and then again in the second period they give up a goal in the, like, they can just never make it easy for themselves. They're never the ones that score at the end of the period, and you know, when they are, it's a meaningless game against an opponent that you should have no problem beating. And you know, looking at this season right now and looking at the expectations that we had going in, it's like, shame on me. Like, I really, like, now I'm, like, down and out. Like, these were the two toughest losses, like, dealing with mentally. I don't know whether it's I'm working 75 hours a week and this is the effort that they show after the effort that I put in all week. It's like now I feel like I'm part, like, salt of the earth. Like I'm the guy that shows up with a lunchbox and pail and just wants his sports team to almost put forth that same effort. And, you know, it just was extra frustrating.
What's up, everybody? It's Jaren from the Hockey Podcast Network's newest show, the Windy City Benders Podcast. My co-host Tanner and I bring our unique takes on Blackhawks hockey.
Us on the show have been a pro Carlton guy. He's the right coach for the situation.
Giving it to our rivals.
That's one of the things that kind of sucks. I wish we would have had the Blues in our division this year because our trash.
As well as bringing in some guests from the NHL.
Please welcome to the show goaltender Scott Darling.
The Eagle himself, Ed Belfour.
Brian Bickle.
David Boland.
Letterkenny.
The show started out with basically a beer league hockey team.
And anybody who loves the game. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps, the Hockey Podcast Network website, and on social media at WCB Podcasts.
I do have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
Because, you know, I do think the future of this hockey team is going to look much different. And we've said that the last couple podcasts. And, you know, I have my biggest concern going into the future is our identity. Which players are going to be our leaders? How are we going to build, you know, our hockey team? Because it's not really right now. I feel like it's not conducive to be built. And, you know, we're very heavy wingers. And I feel like the Kreider contract and the Trouba contract is really going to prohibit this team into becoming, you know, the potential Stanley Cup contender that everyone thinks they will be in a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a gut feeling that they will find a way to part with one of those contracts. It might cost them, unfortunately, you know, an asset
So in 2 years, and I want to kind of play this game, all right?
Sure.
And I want you to, you know, answer some of my questions because,
sure,
you know, I had this discussion with a friend, you know, and, you know, and he said, you know, you make very good points. He's very pro Kreider, okay? So I said, in 2 years, who's your first line left winger?
Alexi Lafreniere.
You hope. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, well, I guess that, unless Panarin they're not doing the whole Panarin runs one line and, you know.
Right.
Whoever their first line center is at that time.
So I can ask you this. This is even great. Who's your first and second left wingers?
So no ranking. Panarin and Lafreniere.
Right. Who is your first and second right wingers?
Kaapo Kakko, Buchnevich, if he's still on the team. In 2 years, potentially Kravtsov. Yeah, depending on how he looks. Right away, yeah, Chris Kreider not mentioned in either of those, you know.
Right, and, you know, and you look at that, and that's great, right? And, you know, none of those players right now currently make $0, right? It costs you, well, except for Panarin, you know, the rest of that costs you absolutely nothing. Who's our first C and second C?
Well, again, it's right now, it's you. I guess you're hoping no matter what, Filip Hedl is your second line center, unless they somehow pull off a trade that doesn't involve losing Zibanejad.
My point is, we don't know. Like, yeah, we can't really say for sure. We don't know. Like, and it's foolish for us to sit here and say, you know, we're steps away when God forbid we even talk about the bottom six, because you know how quickly that moves in the NHL. You know, players are in or out constantly. So right now we have two left wingers and a third left winger, obviously with Kreider, and then you have your two right wingers, and even that, one of them's really a question mark, and we don't even really know who's going to be here center wise because I feel like we don't even know if we really want Mika long term, and Hedl might be part of a package that brings Eichel in. So we don't really know. And that right there, I think, is the problem, is because we're not built to build right now. We have so many question marks and so many positions. We don't know what we have in Kravtsov. You know, we still don't really truly know what we have in Kakko. We don't know what we have in Lafreniere. We know what we have in Panarin. We don't know Mika. We don't know Strome. We don't know Hedl. Like, we don't know. We truly don't know about any position except for maybe Panarin.
Yeah, and I guess the most frustrating thing is that's another reason why, you know, is it easier to try to figure out what they, you know, all those players have, you know, with more time, or is it easier just to say what happens with a different coach? All of a sudden, do they give an element that we previously thought they were lacking, you know? So, and that's, I think, where I'm at. I think Quinn makes it the season, no matter what, no matter how bad it gets, unfortunately. But that being said, I really, and again, it's just one of those things that, like you said, I just don't. There has to be some development on his end too, and I just haven't seen it because I maybe under, you know, maybe it's like under maybe let's say they let him go a few weeks ago when things were real bad, and they did hire Gallant or hell, even a Claude Julien or something. Like, I guess the question is he still giving ample time to the young guys, or is he restructured it so the young guys are playing in the bottom six and then it's a little bit more vet heavy on top? I don't know. But, and are they winning games? But at the same time, is it helping are they learning structure better, and they're just things that will serve them more going forward? And yeah, I really don't know, which is why I do think I specifically would like to see a change in the bench boss over the summer, because yeah, I do feel like there is as much as it's great that they're learning effort and they're kind of learning how to apply themselves more and win their board battles and all this other stuff, at the same time I think it's like you saw that, you know, even Pittsburgh, who on paper isn't the strongest team, but you know, there was that, they had the Rangers hemmed in for that one, that, you know, the Kapanen goal, and they look like the Globetrotters, but that's just years of playing with each other and just knowing where guys are. And I like the fact that whenever they're in trouble, they can feather on their backhand, like across the zone without even looking at it, and know that one of their teammates will pick it up. Whereas if the Rangers tried that, it's going right to a Pittsburgh stick. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
And listen, I'm not going to, you know, it's not the Rangers' fault they don't have a time machine. It's just, you know, they've been a rotating, you know, carousel of players in and out over the past few seasons. So there's not that much as much familiarity as there isn't the same familiarity that Pittsburgh has, where it's you have the core, same core guys, and then you put in one or two guys who've been around the, you know, who've had a cup of coffee in the league. So they're like, okay, I can figure out what these guys are doing. And that's where it's clearly defined by Sullivan that you corral, and this is where your options are in the breakout. You either have here or here. If you don't like it, you can go back. I just don't see that with the Rangers. Sometimes I just see them kind of look and they see the puck goes to D, and then they just run really fast. And before you know it, they fly the zone really high. And then there's no, you know, what happens if Pittsburgh then, you know, puts a heavy forecheck or puts two men on, or, you know, they kind of try to pinch up a little bit. Then, yeah, then you're on your heels, then you're coming back. And it's the same thing in the zone. If they miss a chance or they bobble a puck, why is it three players behind the goal line and then it's a instant 3-on-2 the other way? It's just, or even a 2-on-1 or 3-on-1 if, you know, when the D-man just makes an ill-advised pinch. It's just, these are the type of things that should be able to remedy. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that it's not that I didn't see the Rangers trying these last two games, because there have been plenty of games this year where they just came out flat and they weren't trying. You know, they came out absolutely flying in that first period of the first game, and Mika scores the goal. But it just they just got overwhelmed. And then this game, it was kind of the opposite, where at first Pittsburgh took it to them, but they were trying. It just wasn't working out for them. They were moving their feet, but they didn't have any time or space, and they just didn't know how to make it easy for one or support one another. And that's coaching ultimately, I think. So, yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing is that as many question marks as this team has, I just think that I still believe the bench is the biggest one for me, because not that I'm saying a different coach could maybe get them into the playoffs, because maybe I'm realizing that, as like you said, that the construction of this team and the fact that we really don't know what their quantity is enough reason enough they won't make it. But yeah, it's just, you should see enough to at least there's too many questions that shouldn't be questions, you know?
Right. And you know, it gets back to my point. And we right now, the New York Rangers are built to build around Panarin, Kreider, and Trouba. And that's it. Like, you could say, like, well, we got these young kids, they're coming up. Yeah, that's great. But there's still question marks on them. And right now, like, there's so many questions to address. It's like, you know, shame on us for, like, even thinking that we were, you know, potentially playoff bound this year. Like, honestly, shame on me for even thinking, like, someone who, you know, loves the Rangers, you know, tries to watch every single game, you know, follows the news, follows these players, and, you know, feels almost like a part of the team. I'm like looking at myself in the mirror and being like, how could you ever think that this team could ever sniff the playoffs?
That, and, you know, and Panarin and Meek were a hell of a drug last season, in your defense.
A hell of a drug. Oh, yeah. That was insane. Like, who were they last year? Like, if you look at the roster of last year, right, and compare it to this year, you'd probably say this year is better, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's why everyone is so. But like you said, you realize shocking. That. And listen, it's this team, because when maybe Panarin does come back and they are all of a sudden flying, because it just eases a lot of their problems, all of a sudden you have to move a guy down to the you know, the third line, who could maybe feasibly has been playing well in second line or top 6 minutes, you know what I mean, or even if that's Lafreniere at a point. But yeah, I just think it's, like I said, even so, it just kind of goes to show how much, so much could have went wrong last season, and it went right, but at the same time, it really smoothed over a lot of and I don't, as tough as it's been, I don't necessarily think this season is in vain. I do think that this young team is getting the reps out of it they need and that type of stuff. And, you know, we've seen Fox really cement himself as one of the best defensemen in the league, you know, and that's, I think the only question last year is that, could he play heavy minutes? And well, he is playing heavy minutes and he's absolutely crushing it, you know, but at the same time, it's a lot of work for him. And, you know, it's a lot. The Rangers D is still not where it needs to be. Luckily, they have so many young defenders. Nils Lundqvist continues to score in the Swedish Elite League, although, again, he's another guy. Will he be there if they make a package run for Eichel? I don't know. But yeah, it's just, again, there's just so many you wonder who's just a placeholder for someone else eventually.
Right. And you know, I also want to ask you, you know, I think right now the next step for New York Ranger fans is, you know, let's see what we got. Let's continue the development of our younger players. You know, give as much ice time to Kako and Lafreniere and let them get reps and you know, let Keandre Miller make his mistakes and kind of learn by, you know, getting owned a couple times a game. You know, there's no shame in it right now. It's not like, you know, everyone else is pulling their weight and Keandre's, you know, kind of blowing it for us. And, you know, if Keandre learned anything from being on his team is that Quinn holds different people accountable. And you know, looking at our defensive depth right now, there's a 0% chance Quinn sits Keandre. I mean, he won't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he'd have to be pretty
as much as the mistakes that he's made, he's still, you know, a top three defender for us. You know, you have Fox Lindgren, and then, you know, Trouba has been, you know, all right. But at the end of the day, I still think Miller, sadly, has been, you know, and I guess not sadly. I mean, I'm very happy that he has, but it's sad that, you know, Trouba still can't beat out a rookie defenseman as, you know, it's still, they're neck and neck, you know, where he should have been, you know, miles ahead.
Yeah, and it's funny because, not to cut you off, but just where I feel Trouba's played his best is when he kind of finally realizes, like, all right, like, this is my, you know, I'm going to kind of hold back. And then a few times where Trouba tries to bring it deeper in the zone. I actually think Trouba operates not so bad in the offensive zone for, like, not the most offensive-minded defenseman. It's just when he gets in trouble is that when they're in a cycle in their own zone and he goes immediately to the front of the net. And he's always looking around, and he always misses the guy, like, who's the eventual tap-in. He's just always looking this way, and then someone blows by him and taps it in on the near side. It's just, it's infuriating. So, but yeah, like you said, Quinn, it would have to be crazy to scratch Keandre, and he won't, which is, you know, thank God. I think he's smart enough to know he shouldn't do that. And
I think he's got a little bit of outed status in him, Keandre.
Yeah, which is good. And, you know, like I said, yes, he's had a rough stretch, but at the same time, it's like I saw him, Keandre, do a lot in the offensive zone with the puck. You know, he's kind of letting him figure out how to get comfortable on power play, too. I don't think Keandre will ever be a power play quarterback or even a power play guy. You know, they're hoping with that. But that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, and listen, it's not like their power play is killing it. Again, you know, power play has been an issue all season. I feel like it doesn't really matter who we throw out there. It just seems to struggle. There's zero movement. Again, coaching problem, big question mark. I do want to get into this because I feel like, you know, you follow international hockey a little bit more. You know, looking at, you know, some of our prospects like Kravtsov and Niels, you know, when these guys do come over, and Kravtsov, you know, I guess did he get knocked out yet? I know they're down 3-1.
I think Tractor's down 3-1, so I think there's a chance if he loses on, they play again on Thursday. So if you're listening to this, they play the morning it just drops probably. You know, if Tractor loses that game, they're done. And so which would mean the earliest, and this is courtesy of Statboy Steven on Twitter, the earliest that Kravtsov would probably come over would be Friday. And once he gets here, he has to quarantine for, I believe, 10 days, right? Is that it?
Yes.
So 10-day quarantine. So, yeah, basically, if he gets eliminated on Thursday, you're still not seeing Kravtsov until, and that's, you know, that's 10 days till he can even practice with the team. So I don't know what that means, or if Quinn's going to make him get practice in, but you could feasibly see him at the end of the month, basically.
Yeah, and
or at least towards the tail end, like the 20 something.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, he could win and changes everything once again. You know, God, it's just like, in your honest opinion, do you think Quinn plays this kid? Like, if he's...
It worries me, because, I mean, I've seen the strides he's made in terms of playing, A, scoring goals close to the net, B, going to the net, you know, being harder on the forecheck and hounding pucks. And I definitely think the Rangers need more players like that who can... it's just one of those things that he's going to... you would want him to have the same patience with Vitaly that he has with Keandre, but will he? I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's one of those things where But again, we never got to see him with outside of the preseason. We never really got to see him with the big club. So I don't know. I know Drury's high on him. I know JD's always been high on Kravtsov. So, and they were happy with how he kind of rebounded after a tough stretch last year. So, yeah, I think if the Rangers, especially the more and more they're out of it, I think the more it behooves them to then be able to, like, you know, we spoke a few podcasts ago about them being able to see what they have and try the kids out. And as much as it stinks, I think if they're clearly not going to make it, that's a pretty conducive atmosphere for that, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, looking at our schedule too, like, we're so screwed. Like, yeah, we have Boston, I didn't want to say the F word.
I'll say
it. I changed it to screw it. We're fucked. Yeah. I wish we could name the podcast episode "We're Fucked," because we play Boston.
I'll make it safe.
Yeah, we're fudged. We have Boston, Philly, Capitals. Then we have the Buffalo Sabres. Then we go Philly, Capitals to end the month. It's so amazing how quickly I can change my tune with this team, and it really is just a roller coaster. And the delusion that I gave myself with 3 straight wins against Sabres, Devils is unbelievable. And I just feel, I feel like when the Powerball hits like $1 billion,
yeah,
and I buy a ticket, and in my head I'm like planning, all right, well, I'll quit my job, I'll buy some real estate, like buy the water, like I'll take care of my family and friends, like I want to buy a nice car. And then like I lose, and I have like a guilty like pit in my stomach, like, ah, you didn't win, back to real life. And it's like, why'd you even get your hopes up to begin with? Like, you had basically no shot to win, and you made all these plans, and you put yourself in a different mental state thinking you're going to win this money, and you didn't win. And it's like, I did this with the Rangers. And, you know, obviously the Rangers making the playoffs is probably a slimmer chance of, you know, than me winning the Powerball. But, you know, it's, you know, I can't believe I did this to myself, Andy. And I feel so much shame. I really do. I have a pit in my stomach.
I hear you. It's tough right now. And like you said, this team inconsistency is their identity, in that they'll show up and play the good teams hard and then blow the teams, you know, against teams they should beat. But then at the same time, it's like, then they'll be like, all right, we need to get back on our winning ways, and they beat the teams they should. That's great. And then it's like, all right, well, here comes the real test. And then they totally falter. It's just, yeah, I guess it's part of it. But I guess to close this podcast, let's talk about something a little bit more positive. I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but the sources are saying that the NHL will sign a new TV deal with ESPN. It's been all over Twitter. Everyone's really excited at the thought of, you know, possibly getting Gary Thorne and Clement back to call games, and just the ESPN Hockey Tonight music. And, I want to know what your thoughts are. Are you happy about this? Are you indifferent? Do you think this is a good thing? What were your feelings with NBC? I just want to hear it all. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think you know my thoughts overall with the NHL, that, you know, I feel like there's so many opportunities that the NHL has and they never take advantage of. And now that they're back with ESPN, and, you know, there is the possibility that they, you know, there's Thorne and Clement, and you can bring back the commercials, and I know Gibby brought up the music and how, you know, iconic that was, especially, you know, a kid our age growing up watching the game. You know, am I excited? Yes. Is there a part of me that thinks that it'll end up being worse than what we were used to or what we expect? Absolutely. So, you know, I'm not going to get my hopes up. I'm not going to make this mistake where, you know, I think the NHL is going to do, you know, some sort of, you know, remarketing through ESPN to kind of make it a little bit more attractive. You know, I feel like they'll find their way to screw this up. But it's exciting nonetheless. You know, it's different. It's ESPN. So, I don't know what, like, how do you think ESPN feels about this? Like, obviously they signed the deal, they inked the deal with the NHL, but do you think ESPN is like, and Disney is like excited for this?
You know, it's weird. It's as nostalgic as it is. A lot of people have rightly pointed out that ESPN didn't exactly, you know, they've never really exactly prioritized hockey, and their handling of it wasn't so great. It's tough because there's recency bias with NBC, and you know, they make sure they get their time. It helps that you have NBC, you have NBC Sports. You know, if it's on ESPN, is it going to get bumped for the World Series of Poker or you know, this or right. that? I'm not really sure. And or at the same time, but you know, I mean, you know, and again, ESPN is still just very seem. I don't want to say they're anti-hockey, but they just really seem to avoid talking about it. But you know, it'd be if you get the full court press from them, it'd be good. It'd be good for growing, you know, with the casual. You know, the casual market. I mean, I don't know if you'll ever have Stephen A. Smith talking about and Max Kellerman talking about, you know, about NHL hockey. But
No, Max Kellerman already said that literally, like, no, like he hates hockey. He has that quote that literally nobody cares about hockey, so we're not even going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But you know, I look at this. I'm sorry, I'm plugging my computer in. There we go. Hello?
Hey.
All right. Sorry. I don't know why my screen went black and showed me what the percentage of the... I know what the percentage is. This is why I plugged the power cord in. You know, I look at ESPN and I say, you know, I feel like they're doing this because NHL really doesn't have a choice. And, you know, where else are they going to, you know, put, you know, national, you know, televised games? And I can't even really blame ESPN because it's not ESPN's job to promote the NHL. It's the NHL's job to promote the NHL. And if the ratings are the ratings, you know, it's NHL, it's hockey, you know, they're considered, you know, maybe the fifth sport behind MMA now. I feel like MMA probably draws such a bigger crowd and watch than the NHL does. So, you know, looking at, you know, the big picture here and coming from ESPN's point of view, I don't see this being a success. I really don't. I don't see them really pushing NHL hockey. I think they're just doing it because the NHL is coming with their tail between their legs and saying like, hey, remember us? Yeah, we're the ones that made you zero money. And I know you don't really like to talk about us, but is it okay that we, you know, put our games on and, you know, throw Gary Thorne and Clement out there so people feel a little bit of nostalgia with everything. And hopefully we get through another few years. And until we find, you know, the next best option, like maybe Twitch will pick us up. I don't know. Like, and we can get into a whole podcast about, you know, this whole.
Yeah. I mean,
because I know you have a lot to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll keep it brief. I think the prevailing wisdom is that this is, you know, they're going to have there'll be multiple partnerships. Like, they're still going to have a portion on NBC. ESPN is going to be able to pick up some games for ESPN Plus and just obviously their own channels. But, you know, you do wonder if that means, because is ESPN owned by Disney, right? So, or is that Fox Sports?
Disney owns ESPN.
Exactly. So that you wonder if it's like they can spread it out on platforms. So if this means you'll be seeing, because I could see Fox getting in on the action again too, or, you know, or even USA Network in a greater capacity than is just Overflow. But yeah, I definitely think part of this is the NHL seeing the value of spreading out their, because it's been a bit homogenized for them with NBC. And I think they've had enough of, you know, they've had enough time with them to see like what, you know, where their gains have been. And I'm sure in some aspects it's been good, but I do think if they really, as even though the coverage, like you said, of, you know, how ESPN treats them, I don't know how good it's going to be, but I can see just the more chances they have to, I guess, spread themselves out and expose themselves to a more casual audience. I do think this will be good for that. So
it won't hurt them.
It won't hurt them. yeah, you just have to wonder. I think it really comes down. Will they devote? Will there be an, you know, will NHL Tonight come back? Will Barry Melrose and, Buchagross and Levy and all those guys, will they come back? You know, I don't know. So I definitely don't know how it's going to play out. And if that means it's going to, because, you know, we were joking over text about, you know, today this game was at 6 and it was NBC was calling it what, a hockey happy hour. It's like, what better? Perfect. Because when I think happy hour, I think 6 p.m. on a Tuesday. You know what I mean?
And I think of Jersey Mike's. Like, why?
Yeah, sponsored by Jersey Mike's.
Like, I have not. Taco Bell makes more sense for a happy hour because at least they serve alcohol in New York City. At least they do.
You know, I mean, all I know is that if you told me that the Flyers and the Penguins are playing each other on a Wednesday and Gary Thorne is going to do the call for, you know, ESPN, then I'm kind of there. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, and that's just enough. So, but that, again, that might just be nostalgia. I don't know if Gary's even going to be involved. You also don't know if it's like, you know, even if he is he going to have the same, you know, he's been doing what, Orioles games for the last while. So it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just the nostalgia twinging very hard. And just the fact of that so much has been made of, you know, enough with NBC and Pierre and just, it's so just blah. You know what I mean? I think they're just hoping that ESPN could put a different, spin, for lack of a better word, or just interesting to see anything else than what we've just been fed by NBC for the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, Les Pierre, it just is. Knowing that I'll have Les Pierre in my life, hopefully, is always a positive. So that's how I'm going to leave the podcast, Andy. I'll let you wrap things up with like a final word, but my final word is Les Pierre is more positive in my life. So, you know, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. And listen, I, as somber as I am, I think it's kind of good that the realization has set in that, this team is not as close as they thought. This season has really thrown numerous curveballs at the New York Rangers. But that being said, I mean, it's better to find this stuff out now, you know, than it is to find out when they're finally ready to do some damage. I do think no matter what, I think weird things will continue to happen this season, and the Rangers will continue to have, you know, quick bursts of energy and life, and then just more depressing losses and finding ways to snatch a defeat from the jaws of victory. But yeah, I do think they will ultimately be better for it, or at least that's what I'm telling myself as someone who is trying to, find some sort of silver lining. You just hope that Kako and Lafreniere and Miller and hell, even Fox, they still, because you forget this is still their, you know, second or third years in the league, and, you know, first in some of the cases. So it's just, you hope they just figure, the kids just kind of figure out that, I think the realization will come sooner than rather than later, that the vet they've been kind of looking to their line mates to support and just to kind of learn from, that guy might not be here come the summertime, and pretty soon the things you were counting on him to do, you're gonna have to do. So I guess you hope that at some point we can see Kraftsoff in this lineup and see how he changes the complexion, and Panarin finally comes back, and maybe it pushes some guys who've been trying to help, you know, pull the rope to tread water, maybe it puts them in a more favorable and comfortable position, and they can finally get something going here, just for personal pride, if anything, or just to tell themselves, we're not Buffalo, we're not the Ottawa Senators and these types of teams. Listen, they got their work cut out for them, and like I said, I'm looking at the schedule, and it looks like they're fudged.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.